Hey, Amud Aleph. Last two words on the page on Daf Kuf. Hey, Amud Aleph. Oh, Baruch Hashem, just in time. Hello. It's Hanu Rabbanan. Last two words on the page. Kuf. Hey, Amud Aleph. So the Bryce is going to tell us. We're going to bring a. Let's see what the Brisa tells us. So the Brisa, I think this is actually not a Brisa, it's a Mishnah, because if you look on the side, even though it says Tan Rabbanan, it is a Mishnah in Masechet Zavim, in the third paragraph of Masechet Zavim. Zavim is actually a Masechet of Mishnayos, good to know. Okay, so great. So the Mishnah tells us as follows, Alu bi'ilon shekochara. Let's say two people, one is a Zav and one is a Tahar person. What is a Zav? A person who had some sort of emission that makes him tame. We don't have this anymore. It is not someone who had a seminal emission that had semen come out of him. It is a person that had some sort of disease of some other type of thing that came out of his body. It makes him a zav. A zav is tame. So two guys climb a tree. One of them is a zav. One of them is a tahar. Be ilan shekocha ra, in a tree that is very weak. Or on a branch of a tree that is very weak, tame, the tahar person becomes tame, meaning that transmits the tumah from the tame person to the tahar. Why? Because when two people are sitting on the same weak branch, any movement of one guy, the other guy feels, because it shakes the whole branch. So one of the halachos of a zav is that he's metame with what's called tumas hesit, when he moves somebody, or when he leans his weight on somebody. So he's leaning on that branch, and therefore, if the zav is on the higher branch, it's like he's leaning on the tar person, or the Torah person is leaning on him. So that's enough to make the Torah person tame.
Is it a general rule that anything a Zav touches becomes tame?
Touches, like, yes, but here he's not touching the Torah person.
He's just
on the same tree as the Torah person.
Let's say a Zav touches like this table, and then a Torah person comes and touches the table.
So there are levels of tumah. And there are rules of what can become tame on each level. So that would not be enough, actually, because a kli cannot be metame in Adam. So, okay, so anyway, so it says the Gemara, Hey Chidami, Ilan Shekochara. What do you mean, an Ilan Shekochara? Like, how do I know if the tree is weak enough to be considered weak that the Zav's tuma gets transmitted? So the Gemara says, Amri Debei Rabbi Yanai. They said in the Bei Rabbi Yanai. What does Bei always mean in the Gemara? The Beis Medrash. The Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yanai. Kol she'ein bi'ikaro lachok rova, that any time the trunk of the tree would not be able to carve out on the width of the trunk of the tree a quarter of a kav, that's how you know that it's too flimsy and that it's considered a weak tree. Hey chidami socha shekochara. How do you define a weak branch? Amresh lakish kol shenechpes bechazyona. That any time that a person who had grabbed it, he could reach all the way around it to the point that you can't see it, because the branch is so thin that the human hand can reach all the way around it. That is considered a thin branch, right? That's what nechpes means. It hides. It hides when you grab it. Okay. So now another Mishnah where the Chachamim of the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yanai explain the din of the Mishnah. What do all of these have to do with Bar Metzia? Nothing. What they have to do with Bar Metzia is that we had before there was a Mishnah and they had to go to the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yanai to explain the Mishnah. So we're giving other Mishnayos from wherever where they had to explain them in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yanai. So there's another Mishnah. This Mishnah is in Maseches. Who knows?
Olos,
Ahilos, right? So the Mishnah, yeah. So, what does Olos mean?
Talking about like if there's someone who's like Tommy Mason in a tent, like.
So the Masechta is about Tumas Ohel, that if you're in the same room as a dead body, you become Tame to the Mason.
So like a Nuzer can't be in the same.
Right, or a Kohen can't be in the same room as a dead body. So Rabbi Daniel Wolf from Yeshivat Haaretzion told me it's not Maseches Ahalos. It would be ohalim if it was plural of ohel. It's ahilos. It's being ma'ahil, many ahilos. Okay, anyway, it describes different circumstances of tumas ohel, not many tents. Okay, so Tanan Asam, right? So it's in Maseches. You'll help him. Ahilos. Hamahalech b'beis hapras. If a person is walking in a place that is called a beis hapras, what is a beis hapras?
Oh, it's like a place. It's in Brachos.
Oh, good. It is.
It was like the dead, like the bones, like under the ground.
Good. A beis hapras is a place that, well, one of the definitions of a beis hapras is a place where there was a dead body buried there, and then they plowed the field. So now there are bones of...
scattered everywhere.
Not a mass grave. A body, and they plowed the whole field. So we assume that there are bones of that body scattered all over the field.
And you can't walk
down the path. So midrabanan, we take the whole field, and we consider the whole field to be tameh. Midrabanan. Not midaraisa, but midrabanan. So a guy is walking in the beis hapras, and he has to be concerned that there may be dead... bones of a dead body, and that's why he shouldn't be going there. But he goes al gabe avanim sheyochel lahasit. He's walking on rocks, like they have pavers,
stones.
So he's walking right on rocks, but rocks that could be moved. Al adam v'al behema, or he's riding on top. He's sitting on someone's shoulders on a human or on a behema, or he's riding on an animal shekochan ra that is not particularly sturdy. Tameh, he is still going to be tameh, even though he obviously didn't touch any bones because he wasn't touching the ground, right? And the most he did was be ma'ahil over, was to hover over the tumah. But since he's riding on a flimsy person or behema, it's considered as if he himself moves the bones that are underneath the feet of the person, the animal, or the rocks. It's considered as if he moved them, and he's tamei from moving those bones. So how do we define what is a flimsy person or a flimsy behemoth? So where do you think they went to get this definition? The base measure of Rami Yanai. Where else? Hechi dami adam shekocha ra. What is a flimsy person? Amrei Shlakish, kol sharochvo va'arkuvosav nokshos. You ever had a wedding where they try to take someone else up on their shoulders and he didn't account for just how heavy the guy would be, and you see his knees shaking, right? So the knee shaking, that's a flimsy person, when his knees are shaking because he's holding someone on his shoulders. Hechi dami behema shekochara. How do you define an animal that's flimsy? Amri dvei Rabbi Yanai kol sharochva matila galalim. Anytime when you go on the animal all of a sudden relieves itself, it loses its full capacity to restrain itself in any other way, because all of its kochos are being used to hold this fat guy that's sitting on his back. So everything else just comes out. So that's a behema that's kocha ra. Amri debei Rabbi Yanai, l'tfilin arba'az kavin. Once we mention all these other things of Rabbi Yanai, so the Gemara is going to bring another thing that Rabbi Yanai said, that the shear for tefillah and for tefillin is 4 kav. What? For what tefillah? What are you doing? What? So the Gemara says, l'tfila maihi. What are you talking about? The shear of tfila is 4 kav? The shear of tfila is 19 brachos of Shemona Esrei, Right? What does it mean? The shear of tfila is 4 kav. What's this talking about? Did Tanya, the Brisa tells us as follows, Hanose masoi al ksefo. A person is carrying what? A burden al ksefo. What's ksefo? On his shoulders. V'igiyazman tfila, and it came time to davin. But you're not supposed to daven while you're carrying things. You're not supposed to daven while you're holding stuff. It's a big shaila. Why are you allowed to daven holding a sitter? You're not supposed to daven while you're holding things, right? So why are we allowed to daven holding a sitter? Because it's actually helping the davening, right? As opposed to, you could argue that maybe a holding a smartphone not okay while you daven, because even though it is helping you daven, since it has all these other functions that make you afraid to drop it, right? Okay. So anyway. The sitter has other functions?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. But that's weird if you're going to do that to Shmonesri.
So anyway, a person is carrying a Masri al Ksefa. We're not going to get into the whole smartphone thing yet. A person is carrying a burden on his shoulders. Vigiyaz man tefillah, and it comes time to daven. Pachos me arba akavin mafshilon na achorav. if the burden that he's carrying is less than 4 kav, he could just throw it on his back, hold it on his back, so that it doesn't feel so heavy. Like when you carry a backpack on your shoulders, it doesn't feel so heavy. You carry it in your hands, it feels much heavier. So just, you know, use it like a, carry it like a backpack, umispalil, and then you can daven, and that's fine. We assume you'll be able to have kavana if the whatever you're carrying weighs less than 4 kavin, and it's on your back, you'll be able to have kavana. But arba kavin. But if the thing that you're carrying is what? Is 4 kav, then what do you need to do? Maniach al gabe karko mispal. You need to put it on the ground and daven then. Okay, so that's what Rabbi Yanai meant when they said that the shear for tefillah is 4 kavin. But what do they mean when they said the shear for tefillin is 4 kavin? Le tefillin maihi. What was the story with the tefillin? That the shear for tefillin is 4 kavin.
Like, did Tanya? Like if you have something on your head?
I don't know. Let's see. Oh, so that's what it says. Hayunose masoy al rosho. Let's say you're carrying a burden on your head. It's a surprisingly easy way to carry things. I don't know. You look funny. Right.
In Africa,
yeah. Yeah. So if you carry a burden on your head, utfilin barosho, and you also at the same time happen to have your tefillin on, why would you do that? Why would you have tefillin on? Are you carrying things around in the middle of davening? Oh, they used to wear tefillin all day. Exactly. If the tefillin get crushed from the weight of the burden, then you shouldn't be doing that. But if they don't get crushed from the weight of the burden, then mutter.
It's a good litmus test.
Yes.
If it don't get crushed.
Yes. They used to also use dakos. They used to use their batim were much flimsier than ours. Our batim are pretty, you know, pretty solid, pretty sturdy. We only use from gassos, from big animals. So be'ezu masri amru, which kind of burden do we say that the tefillin will get crushed from? Be'masri shalabras kavin. If you want to know, if you don't want to test it, and you don't want to see if your tefillin get crushed or not, you would just like to know, is this going to crush it or not? So if it's 4 kavin, if the burden is 4 kavin, it will crush your tefillin. Once we mention something about respecting your tefillin, we're going to have another brisa about respecting your tefillin. Tani Rabbi Chiya, Hamotzi Zevel al Rosha. Let's say a person is carrying manure on his head. Utfilin Barosha. And at the same time that he's got manure on his head, he's also got tefillin on his head. It's essentially the equivalent of sticking your head in the toilet while you have tefillin on, right? It's not particularly respectful, right? So he's got manure on his head and tefillin on his head. Hare ze yisalkem letzadin. Move the tefillin off to the side. I would have said, take the manure off to the side, right? No, but I guess you need to carry the manure, right? So you move the tefillin off to the side. You're right, why not? I guess you couldn't carry it otherwise. V'lo yikshurim b'masnav, but don't tie your tefillin around your, like, your belt. Mipreishu noig ben minig b'zayim, because that's a b'zayim to carry tefillin that way. Aval koshram al zro'o b'makom tefillin, but what you can do is you can take your shal rosh off and put it on your yad, in the put it on where your arm tefillin would go, and that wouldn't be considered a bizayon. Mishum de bei shila amru afilu mit pachas shalahen asalaniach al rosh. In the base medrash of Rabbi Shila, they said that even the cloth of the what's the mitpachas? Yeah, even the cloth that you wrap the tefillin in when you take it off at night, you're not allowed to put on your head sheyesh bo tefillin at the same time that you carry your tefillin, because you can't have anything else on your head when you're carrying your tefillin. It's a bizayin to the tefillin. The kama, how heavy of a burden does it have to be that that they would say that you're not allowed to carry on your head when you have tefillin? Amar Abaye afilu riva de riva de pumbadisa. Even 1/4 of a litra that they would measure in pumbadisa, which is a very small weight, apparently, that they measure in pumbadisa. So a very tiny burden you're not allowed to have on your head. So that ends the Rabbi Yanai stuff. So what did we say? That Rabbi Yanai explained to us how many dinim. What did Rabbi Yanai say, at least so far today? How many dinim did Rabbi Yanai explain? They explained the din of Ilan Shekochora, right, by Zav, if it's a weak tree. What? Yeah, it started with yes, with what you read before, but let's do at least what we did today. What else did they explain? They explained in Masech Sahilos about what?
Like a weak person?
What's a weak person or an animal that riding on in a Beis HaPras? In a Beis HaPras, what's a Beis HaPras again?
A place where it got plowed.
Good. And then we said they also explained that there's a shear for tefillah. What does it mean, a shear for tefillah? Good. How heavy a package you can hold on your back and still have kavana for davening, and a shear for tefillin. What does it mean, a shear for tefillin?
How heavy it could be
on your head without crushing your tefillin. Good, yes.
Obviously, like now, tefillin, like the apartments are would they have, would they, because if they're carrying, obviously, a lot of touches.
They would always wear their tefillin. They weren't carrying them around. They were wearing them.
So when they took it off, they
said they had the little cloth.
Yeah, they would wrap it in something. Yeah, I don't know if they had as fancy as we have. They didn't have like those chayalim things. Of course. I wouldn't have doubted it. Okay, they, like it wasn't like a thing that your grandmother would, you know, make you, you know. All right. Good. Period. That's the end of the first part. Good? You good for that? Okay, on we go. The Mishnah said. Ooh, why? Very good. Why can't you put the shalyad on top of the shalrosh? Why is the shalrosh more kadosh?
Because it says in the pasuk. Anything about the pasuk or not?
I don't think so. There's a Shem Hashem that's written in the combination of your shalyad and shalrosh. What's the Shem Hashem that's written in the combination? Shin, Dalet, and Yud. There's a Shin on the side of your Shalrosh. There's a Dalet in the back of your Shalrosh. And there's a Yud on the Ritzuos of the, right? The Ritzuos forms the letter Yud. So since two out of the three letters of the Shem Hashem are in the Shalrosh, we assume the Shalrosh has greater Kedusha than the Shalyad. So the Mem is really just two Dalets. It's a Dalet like that and a Dalet like that. So people who have a square knot in the back, we assume that's really a double dalid, not a not a mem. That's the way we look
that
at it.
That person
did what wrong?
The thing standing up.
Oh, okay. You can go fix it later. Okay.
Then it might be upside down. Why isn't it just made that the shalrosh?
Because why? You tell me. When you put on your tefillin the next day. And also when you put on your tefillin, right?
You have to take out the one you're
going to use first. Yeah, it's a major design flaw in that thing. They should really, I don't know.
They have a box.
What? I guess just leave it on the side instead of standing it up. Or get a normal tefillin bag, like, you know, everybody else. What? This is for a talit as well. All right, on we go. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. My kids for Bikri, Elim Yesh Bo Kedei Nefila. So we said, you know, that there has to be the field has to be able to produce a pile, right? But we said, come on, a pile? How big is the field? So it has to be Kedei Nefila. If it's Kedei Nefila, so says Mara, what does that mean? Vekama Kedei Nefila. What's the shear of grain that's considered a Kedei Nefila that makes it worthwhile to plant the entire field because it's going to produce this amount of grain? Rabbi Ami Amar Rabbi Yochanan Arba'a Si'in. Four sa'a of grain that you have to plant likor in order to produce a kor of wheat. So when the field produces that amount, then the aris has to do his job. Meaning, if four sa'in yields a kor, then he's got four sa'in yields a kor. Is that how it goes? If you get four sa'in out of a kar of land, the kar is the size of land. So then it's he's got to work the field. Rabbi Ami Dilei Amar Shmona sa'in lekar, that it's eight sa'in for a kar. Okay, go. Shmona sa'in, eight sa'a of seeds to in order for the field to grow a kar worth of grain. So that's just a machlokas, how much is considered enough produce to make it worth it to work the field. Okay, now it makes it sound like we had how many opinions?
We have two.
How many opinions did we just quote?
Two.
Two. Who are they? So Rabbi Ami in the name of Rabbi Yochanan is Rabbi, and Rabbi Ami Dilei. What does Rabbi Ami Dilei mean? Himself. Right, not Rabbi Yochanan. So it sounds like you have a machlokas between the Rebbe and the Talmud, right? Because the Rebbe was Rabbi Yochanan. He says four sa'in is enough, and Rabbi Ami is the Talmud. He said you need eight sa'in. Amalei Ahu Saba L'Rav Chama Berei D'Rabba Baravua. There was a certain old man that said to Rav Chama Berei D'Rabba Baravua, Azbralach Bishneid Rabbi Yochanan have a Shmeina Ara, Bishneid Rabbi Yami have a Kchisha Ara. He says, I'll explain to you that they're not arguing. Rabbi Yami would never argue on Rabbi Yochanan. During Rabbi Yochanan's life, land was very robust, fat, good, and therefore planting force in would be enough to create a core of grain. But in the years of Rabbi Yami, land had become much weaker, and therefore you needed eight sin. So it's all a matter of what the expectation of a normal field is. So if the expectations have changed, then the numbers are going to be different in terms of what's worthwhile to work, what's worthwhile to plant. Now, once we mention this idea of kedei nefila, the Gemara is going to bring a Mishnah about the shear of leket, where we also have a similar idea. What does leket mean? So there are three matnos aniyim called leket, shecha, and peah. So let's see. Tznan hasam. We have a Mishnah Maseches Peah. They're all discussed in Maseches Peah. Do you know any Mishnahs from Maseches Peah by heart?
Eldvarim.
Oh, okay, good. So you know. Eldvarim Shelem Shir. You say every single day. So Tznan hasam. We have a Mishnah Maseches Peah in the fifth paragraph of Maseches Peah. Probably not one of the Mishnahs you know by heart. Haruach shepizra es haomarin. Let's say you have wind that blows apart the pile of grain. So so we don't know how much leket was there before. Leket is like the little pieces of grain that were under the piles. So now it's all over the place, and you have no idea how much was actually leket. So omdinosa, we have to assess it. We have to evaluate it as follows. Kama leket ruyalasos. You try to figure it out. You figure out how much leket was probably in this field that belonged to the aniyim, and that's what you give to the aniyim. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, nosin aniyim, kedei nefila. You give aniyim kedei nefila. Why are we mentioning this? Because he uses the same lashon of kedei nefila. V'kama kedei nefila. How much is a kedei nefila? Kiyas Rav Dimi Omer Rav Elazar v'item Rav Yochanan arba'as kavin l'kor. 4 kav of grain is the sheer leket for a kor of produce. So by Rabbi Yirmiyah asked the following shaila. This idea of 4 kav for a kor, lekor zera, does it mean for a field that's planted with a kor of seeds, that the sheer of leket is 4 kav, but for a field that only produces 4 kar, the shear of leket is going to be less? What's the difference between whether it's 4 kar of seeds or 4 kar of produce, which would be a greater amount? So 4 kar of produce meant that there were way less than 4 kar of seeds, right? If whatever you're getting out of the field is only what you're putting into the field, you're doing something wrong, right? The whole idea is you plant a little teeny seed, and what's supposed to come out? Like a whole thing, right? So 4 kar so the Gemara wants to know, what are we talking about when we say 4 kar? 4 kar of zera ole kar tavua? So says the Gemara, if you're going to say that it's 4 kav of a kor that's planted in the field, then we have a further question. The mapolis yad ole mapolis shvarin. Is the shear measured by a planting that's done by hand, and you don't need more seeds than exactly a kor, or when you have oxen doing the planting, where you're going to need extra seeds because there's more seeds get lost in the, I guess, in the holes of the equipment or something when you have oxen doing it. So which measurement do we do? So Tashma, the Gemara says, we'll bring a raya. Dechi asi Ravin Amar Rabbi Avuha. When Ravin came, what does it mean when he came? When he came from where? So new?
Obviously from somewhere.
From Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. When he came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amar Rabbi Avuha, he said in the name of Rabbi Avuha, Amar Rabbi Lazar, in the name of Rabbi Elazar. Va'amrila, and some say, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that this was said by Rabbi Yochanan, Arba'as Kabin, the shear of 4 kav of leket, is lekar zera. It's for every kar of seeds, but for every kar that's someach, that actually sprouts, that actually grows from the tvua, you don't need 4 kav, and you can give way, way less. But we're still not sure whether we should measure it by what a person would plant by hand or by what would be planted by oxen. And that question is left unresolved. And that's why we say, take it. We leave it unresolved.